This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 5-on-3 WFUV Sports Best, if not only hockey and NHL podcast. And we are going to be shifting gears sort of away from the NHL in this week's episode. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the National Hockey League, but of course the season has been suspended for about 2 or so weeks, and it's because the Four Nations has come to town, specifically Beantown and Montreal. So let's introduce our host today. I'm James Burley. I'm joined by Nick Palmer and Sophia Smith. Lydia Perner will chime in from the producer's mic throughout the show. First and foremost, how are we doing, Sophia?
I'm doing good. I don't really have anything to say. The Four Nations game last night was awesome, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, we were originally supposed to record yesterday, but got bumped out of the studio.
Yeah,
and
that was the right thing, I think.
It
was meant to happen.
Because now we got one game completed that we can now analyze and talk about, and it's going to give us a little bit more insight to what this tournament has to offer. So, Nick, how are you doing, my man?
Dude, I'm good. Let's talk hockey.
Let's go right into it.
Let's talk hockey.
Well, before we talk Four Nations, let's talk briefly about how each of our local teams, and we've got all three represented here, how they finished this sort of slide into the break. The Devils 4-1, up and down. Islanders, in a word, how would you describe it?
Doing the job.
Doing the job.
They're playing pretty dang well.
And in one sentence or fewer words, the Rangers, how would you describe it?
Need to be better, but we're on the right track.
All right, so let's start with the Rangers, because it feels like every team is in a similar situation. The Islanders might be playing the best hockey of the three at the moment, in terms of consistency, perhaps. Yeah. But as the standing shows, the Devils are in the best shape right now. So let's talk New York Rangers. What did they look like in their last few games? What has been going right? What's been going wrong?
The Penguins game was obviously the biggest glaring issue in the past few games. They looked disinterested and it did not go in their favor, but then that was forgotten when they beat Columbus. So I think that going forward, I would like to see more wins like strung together. I don't remember the last time they won 3 in a row, and that's not, like, there's teams that are going on heaters, like the Islanders and the Red Wings, that, like, you can't be dropping, you can't win 2 and then lose 2. Every point counts. So that's what I'm looking for.
And Lydia, I'm going to have you chime in early here, because it's a 2-point night from your boy against Columbus. Just what'd you think from Will Cooley?
Well, I tell a quick story quickly?
Do it all.
No, in between, in the second intermission, I went and took a shower, and I put, at the top of my laundry pile was my Will Cooley t-shirt, all right? At this point, the Rangers are down 2-1. Keep in mind. I need you to keep the score in mind. I believe it was 2-1. And so I just put it on because, like, I hadn't folded my laundry, whatever. And then he goes, he scores. He scored 2 goals. I don't want anyone to say he scored 1 goal and had 1 assist. That Vaakanainen tip, that was his goal. I looked up at the TV both times and I was like, wait, Will Cooley just scored. And then he scored again. And it was funny. I was going to text one of my friends, after the first Cooley goal, get ready for this Cooley or Rempe goal. But then I was like, no, that's too much. And then he scored the game-winning goal. So I was pretty happy with that. I think he's kind of like that, like, tenacious player that the Rangers had at the beginning of the season. Then he kind of dropped off playing with Mika. But that's the play and style that I want from Cooley. And he actually scored his first NHL goal last season in Columbus in that building. So maybe it's just a product of the place he's playing in.
And I think it's an important win as well because of taking a look at the NHL standings. I mean, Columbus has kind of been a bit of a surprise in the Metropolitan Division. The big surprise, of course, has been the Washington Capitals. But after that, I mean, Columbus, they've been taking wins and points away seemingly from the competitors for fighting for that last wildcard spot, teams like the Rangers and the Islanders, Nick. So let's shift gears to the Islanders real quick while we can.
Yeah.
Breezing through these NHL teams so we can talk international hockey. Give me the rundown.
Sorry, just one quick thing.
Good,
on the Rangers.
Chime in.
Lafreniere needs to play better.
Yes.
I think we can all agree.
Yes.
That's something I'm looking for.
The back
in the second
check is
half. Really
bad.
Dude, against the Penguins on that Raquel goal.
Same
holy
thing against the
smokes.
Same thing against the Blue Jackets.
Well, we're going to talk about a back check there in one of the Four Nations goals last night. It has to do with the Rangers as well.
Anyway, he just doesn't look the same as last season. And with a guy who's that young, you don't want to see them regressing that early in their career. Anyway, he's minus 13 on the season. He was plus 14 over the past three. The New York Islanders are playing great. There is actually news during the break, which not a lot of people know, Noah Dobson has changed agents from Andrew Maloney to Judd Moldaver. So that's the guy who represents McDavid and Matthews. You switch agents. It's often said you switch agents when you want to get a deal done, whether that's getting shipped somewhere or signing a new contract. Do the Islanders want to commit long-term to a deal worth more than $8 million a year? Or do you look for something like a bridge deal? I think you look for something like that. Dobson does have arbitration rights, I believe. And I don't know, like for a top defenseman, not calling him a top defenseman, but the market value for that is $8 to $10 million, right? Because the salary cap's going to be going up. I don't think the Islanders are at the point in the season where they're going to be trading him unless you get something ridiculous in return. I don't know. You got to worry about other people first, I would say. Right. Romanov, Holmstrom, Siplikov, these are guys all restricted free agents. And Brock Nelson's the big one.
Right.
It was looking like as the Islanders were starting to fade from the playoff race, everyone's saying Brock Nelson's getting traded. He's number one on the trading block. And then they go and win 8 of their next 10. And all of a sudden they're back in it. I don't think they're going to move Brock Nelson because that's throwing in the towel. And right now you can't throw in the towel with the way you're playing.
And I mean, that's classic Islanders, you know.
Yeah.
Hit a rough patch in the earlier part of the season. Injuries, the trade rumors come out, and then they find a way to put it back together. So my question is this. I'm looking at the list of injured players for New York right now. Guys like Mayfield and Barzal, you expect to come back shortly or right after this break.
Yeah.
Mike Riley, Varlamov, Hudson Fashing, Noah Dobson, Ryan Pulock, and Marcus Hogberg are all listed as injured reserve.
Right.
So give me the rundown. Who do you expect to come back soon, if at all, from that group?
Noah Dobson, we don't know. Hogberg, which you didn't mention. Sorokin needs a backup.
Yeah.
Man,
he can only play Skarik right now.
Yeah, it's look, no disrespect, but Hogberg played great for his last games. I'm actually looking for him to come back quickly. Not a timeline on Varlamov. Look, the right defense is seriously lacking right now. And I mean seriously, seriously lacking. You're running with Tony D'Angelo, Scott Perunovic, and Adam Boqvist as your three right defensemen. None of those three guys were Islanders to start the year.
No.
None of them were in the plan. Tony D'Angelo had a couple good games, but also looked kind of weak at times.
Kind of weak, scoring on your own net.
Oh, my God.
It was bad.
Yeah, that was a bad game.
A lot of people were quick to celebrate that moment.
Yes, yes. As
I was one.
You know what? Hey, whatever your opinion on Tony D'Angelo is, however valid that is, look. They got to get guys back. But more than that, you need Anthony Duclair to step up again.
Yep.
He's going to be, I think, the key to whether this team makes the playoffs or does not make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. That's a high praise and also big responsibility for Duclair. He's going to be the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak, in Reggie Jackson quotes. Well, let's take a look at New Jersey because, like I said, up and down. January was a disaster for the Devils. Just absolutely horrendous for a team with that much quality. They were so, so bad. They kind of turned a corner towards the end of the month with big wins over Boston. And really, that was the only big win. Then they had another big win over Philly. But, like, that's a game you have to be winning big. And then they followed that up with a loss to Buffalo, a narrow win over Pittsburgh, a really bad loss to Vegas, and then a big win over Montreal. They needed that big win to go into this break. But they're dealing with injuries as well.
But is that a win if Nico Hischier gets absolutely destroyed by Nick Suzuki?
No.
It feels like a loss.
They won that game
but
going back to, I think, the 25th of January. The Nico Hischier-less New Jersey Devils are just so much worse than when he's on the ice. Like, I had it in the last episode we did. The statistic, I could pull it up now. It's going to take too long. But the record of the Devils with him on the ice in the last 5 years since he's been drafted versus without him, it is staggering how many more games they win with him versus without him. And I think that makes total sense. He's your top line center. He's on your first power play. He's your top penalty killer. He is your leading faceoff man. Like, he does everything you could ask for out of a number one centerman. And, you know, not having him hurts. Hopefully, come February 22nd, when they face the Dallas Stars at home, their first game back from the break, that Nico Hischier has taken the opening faceoff there. If not, that could be difficult because there's other guys that are missing now. Jonas Siegenthaler is going to be out for a while. It seems as though he underwent surgery. There's been a lack of clarity as to whether or not that happened. Swiss media reported that during the break, but New Jersey media did not get any wind of that.
Eric Halla coming back?
Eric Halla is on the ice for Finland, so it looks like he'll be ready to come back. Right. He's had a bit of a down year for his standards, has looked more like a four-line center than a middle six center. So, you know, they're going to have to figure some things out. I think the Devils, if they want to make a splash in the playoffs this year, would have to make a move or two.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, trade deadline after the Hurricanes and the Rangers made trades.
Yeah.
What do you see happening?
I was asked this question a couple days ago just by, like, friends. And my thought was, look, I don't think it has to be this year for the Devils. I think no matter what happens, it'd be a disaster at this point if they didn't make the playoffs. So I'm assuming they'll be there. They'll have Carolina in the first round probably. And I don't know. I think if they brought in a Brock Nelson type,
you would need a center.
It would help shore the issues that they have down the middle of the lineup. But I'm not sure that would get them over the hump against the Carolina. Like, is a move like that, and you know, if you go make a bigger splash like a Brock Besser, like, is that going to be the thing that puts you over the finish line? I don't think so right now. I would shy away from dealing away any prospects at this point for New Jersey, because they have so many. I mean, I think of Mikhail Yegorov, the goalie for Boston University. Like, that is a gem. Like, these are the types of guys the Devils need to protect. Yep. Seamus Casey, Santeri Hataka, mm-hmm. I would protect. Even Simon Nemitz, who came up and was awful against Vegas, just so bad in Siegenthaler's absence. I wouldn't even trade a guy like him. He's only 2 years removed from being a second overall pick.
Yeah.
So I do think that if the Devils did make a move, they have a few second-round picks in this year's and next year's draft that they could get rid of. But other than that, I wouldn't explore too much.
No firstie because of Markstrom, right?
No.
Right.
And Markstrom hopefully will be ready to come back shortly after this break. I think he would have been the number one for Sweden.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I digress. Filip Gustavsson did a good job last night. Lydia.
Are you saying the Devils need a two-way center?
Do the Devils need a two-way center? They could use
a
two-way center.
And you'd be willing to give up a second-round pick for it.
I would be
what
willing
if he
to
plays
give a
on the top line of Team Sweden?
I think that guy should not be on the top line of Team Sweden. And I also think that I would rather give up the second round pick for a top six scorer.
Mm. How about Ryan O'Reilly?
Ryan O'Reilly is a name that
so
comes up a lot.
Not
as
Amika
well.
Zibanejad.
I don't think Amika.
I don't think anyone wants.
Yeah, it was worth a shot.
I would.
He played well
on that
for Sweden.
He was good
last game.
He played well.
He almost had the OT winner.
Except for the one back check on the.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a very merry Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good segue to talking about last night's game and the Four Nations as a whole. Lydia, why don't we start with you? Because we've started with Nick and Sophia now. What was your overall impressions of the festivities, of the occasion, of the game last night? And then I think we'll open it up and talk more predictive about the rest of the tournament.
That game was awesome last night.
Very cool.
Starting with just the pregame intro, you know, announcing. Like, we all kind of talked about it before the show. We all hate Crosby as, like, a player playing against us.
Yeah.
But, oh, my gosh, when they announced him and hearing the Canada crowd, the camera panned to him, it was one of the coolest, like, moments in sports. And then I another thing, like, when Nylander got booed, I was laughing. I thought that was really funny. But then the anthem, just hearing, like, the Bell Center, like, scream the Canadian anthem in French and bringing out Richter, Who else was it? Lemieux came out, and all those other guys. It was just the pregame. I was already amped up for the game, and then the first, like, what, 2 minutes of the game, you get McDavid to Crosby to MacKinnon.
It's literally the greatest possible goal.
Yeah,
it's literally a video game.
Yeah.
It is
they
so
had to
cool.
have practice that.
They did. There's a video of them literally practicing it in practice, and MacKinnon's, like, kind of showing, like, this is the play I want. They did that exact play in practice, and then it came out in the game, and oh my gosh, it's just so cool to see international hockey best on best back.
100%.
Yeah, I think it was also, like, kind of poetic, at least from the lens of a Canadian fan. You know, I've just like got raged from booing Canadian-born William Nylander.
And Matthews.
And the first minute of the game, Nylander takes a high-sticking penalty. Mm-hmm. A really bad one, too, just like a careless mistake. And, I mean, if you give that Canadian power play 2 minutes to strut their stuff, especially when they're fresh at the beginning of the game, they're going to make you pay.
Devo was skating circles around everyone.
Well, I know.
I'm looking the five players they have out for the power play. You have Makar quarterbacking, and then you have McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon, and Sam Reinhart, who, you know, it kind of begs the question. Sam Reinhart almost sounds like he doesn't belong on that list.
But
he's outscoring
exactly,
the rest of
exactly.
them.
Okay, but he did not play very well in
that's like champagne problems for this Canadian team.
He sucks.
To peel it back a little bit, because we're still kind of in preview mode. This is the first time we've really talked about it on 5-on-3. This Canadian team drew a lot of criticism going into the tournament because of the goaltending position.
Yeah.
And it's obvious why. The U.S. has three amazing goaltenders they can choose from. Finland's got Jussi Saros. Sweden was going to have either Markstrom, but now they've got a choice between Gustafsson and Linus Ullmark.
Gus is so good.
And yeah. Gustafsson.
Yeah. Really, really,
I
well.
Called, really well.
By the way, and I keep patting myself on the back for this. Two years ago on this show, I said future Vezina winner, Filip Gustafsson. I still think he's going to win a Vezina in his career. I digress. That was before he was even a starter, but I digress on that point. I do believe, though, that this Canada team is good enough to make up for the fact that Jordan Binnington's going to be their starter. Sophia?
I just want to say that this tournament is so awesome to me. And going into it, I said this, but just actually seeing it, and even 2 days ago for Media Day, seeing all of the players like together, it makes me so happy and like celebrates the sport in such an awesome way. But yeah, Canada... just insane to see McDavid and MacKinnon, the speed and the talent. And then Crosby, like the playmaking is phenomenal. Obviously, U.S. has the hand in goal, but, you know, Hellebuck hasn't performed as well in those big games. And they have Onger and Swayman to choose from, but I could definitely see Canada running away with this. And I actually thought that they were going to run away with it last night. And then
no way.
No, but last night it looked like Sweden was out of the running, and then all of a sudden it was a game again. So I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, hats off to Sweden, because, you know, after that first period, I was not convinced by them.
Yeah.
I thought they looked lost. They were getting outshot. And, you know, you could have the worst goalie in the world, but if the other team doesn't have any shots, they're not going to score.
Yes.
So... I think we've been a little bit disrespectful in a way to the Canadian goaltenders. Yes, there's no top 10 goalie in the league on that team, but Jordan Binnington's only a few years removed from carrying the Blues to a Stanley Cup, and if should they choose Aiden Hill, he's only a couple years removed from his Stanley Cup championship. So, I mean, let's put a little respect on Canada. And obviously Sidney Crosby, we mentioned, what is it? He's 26-0 in a Canada jersey.
Yeah, in his last however many games.
And I'm thinking...
He had 4 points last
night. Yeah,
he's like 50.
And whenever he's the captain, I mean, when you think about in the NHL, a player you'd want to play for, I mean, I can't think of a better name than Sidney Crosby for one. And then for another, I mean, he's just a gamer. In a way that Connor Hellebuck might not be, Sidney Crosby always rises to the occasion, always shows up when you need him. And to peel it back once more, when I think of like formative moments in my hockey fandom, yes, it was heartbreaking, but the 2010 Winter Olympics gold medal game where Zach Parise scored with 25 seconds left to send it to overtime, like that was such an immense moment of pride for me, because it was like, wow, this Canada team is literally a bunch of giants. They've got Marty Brodeur on the bench. Right. That's how good that Canada team was. And I'm like, my guy, my captain, Zach Parise scores to send it to OT. Granted, Crosby does five-hole Ryan Miller in overtime to win it, but that like lit a fire under me as a hockey fan. Like that was a big moment. And that's what I think the Four Nations could represent. Yes, it's only four teams. It's only four games per team. And it's a 10-day-long experiment of a tournament. But now we've gotten word that they're going to experiment with the Winter Olympics next year. And then the 2028 World Cup of Hockey, they might be bringing that back. They're going to open up the playing field, maybe introduce a qualifying format. I would love that. Obviously, there are some big, big nations missing from this tournament.
Yes.
Granted that there are only four. I just spoke a lot there, Nick. Why don't you take
Team
the mic
England.
From me? Team England. Hey, Team GB at the World Championships like 3 years ago had one of the funniest moments because in IIHF, like World Championships, they do promotion and relegation. And if you finish in like 10th or 9th in the open play, you go down. And I remember Team GB, Team Great Britain, was in 8th. And they like just narrowly avoided relegation by 1 point. And all the guys are like singing on the ice after the game. They're saying, "We're expletive, but we know we are. And they're just doing that the whole time. I don't know. I love that. There's just so many different cultures that could be represented in hockey. It's an international sport. It really is.
Yes.
And until recently, we had not done a good enough job spotlighting it. So this has been very fun.
Team USA is going to rout Finland today.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of the I don't know if there's you guys have been disrespecting Team USA.
They're covered in all areas.
Have a little pride for your country, Lydia Perner.
Before you defend it, I wouldn't disrespect Finland just yet, but go ahead.
No, I want him to finish.
No,
his
since
point.
we have the Canadian here with us. Team USA is filthy.
This
power play one might be better than the Canadian power play.
I don't think that's possible.
I disagree. I have to disagree.
Let's read the names.
Chucky, Gensel, Matthews, Eichel, Fox.
Not even close.
First of all, it's close. It's close. But
they don't have the speed, but the puck moving and the shot ability
with them. And I'm going to add one more thing. I don't think that the Canadian first power play unit has role players like this U.S.
That's
team
what
does.
I'm saying.
Matthew Tkachuk in front of the net and behind the net, it makes more sense. Eichel in the slot makes more sense.
Yes.
And then you have Gensel and Matthews on the half wall, Fox quarterbacking. I mean, you have all the bases covered. You get size, power, sniping, and playmaking. So I think it's close. The quality on Canada's is just too much to overlook. But the good news is that's not how you crown a champion, is not who has the better power play. It's who wins the hockey games.
They have dogs on this team.
So many dogs.
USA is going to play hard, man. This is a hard-playing team.
It's not just on the power play. I look at the bottom six of this team. Like, Vinny Trocheck, quarterback in that fourth line. That's a gritty fourth line.
Yeah.
Trocheck, Larkin, Nelson.
The fourth line of the States, I will say, is better than Canada's fourth line.
Yes, and the U.S. is never going to have a first line as good as what Canada has. I believe they trotted out last night Mitch Marner, McDavid, Reinhardt, and then line two is Mark Stone, MacKinnon, Crosby. That line two has got everything. You've got playmaking, you've got speed, you've got scoring, and you've got size. Like, that's gross.
And just to say, I have never seen a goaltender have a season like this since 2014 Carey Price. I just haven't. Connor Hellebuck is the favorite for the heart. If he continues this, I see no reason why he can't just steal this tournament. And
I think that's possible.
Because did it not come down to goaltending, like at the end of the day with the last game?
It did.
I think goaltending matters a lot more in this tournament than it does, because you have all of the players are so good.
It's just an offensive game. That's why the goaltending matters.
That's why Saturday is going to be crazy. U.S. versus Canada.
At the Bell Center?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Well, let's dive deeper a little bit into tonight's game. I mean, there's one glaring omission from this U.S. team that really hurts, and that's Quinn Hughes, because he's out with injury. I think that, for one, makes the power play infinitely better if he's there, too, because then you have Quinn Hughes on power play one, Adam Fox on power play two. I mean, like, it's pretty gross. That's the second and third best defenseman in the league, arguably. I think it'd be hard to argue against that. And like you said, there's dogs all over this team. I'm looking at this second line. Jack Hughes, Austin Matthews, Jake Gensel.
Pretty good.
Like, that's all speed and skill. Like I don't know how a Finland, even if they just keep Barkov on the ice whenever Matthews is going to contain that. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Also, the U.S. just has so much grit, as you said, with Trocheck and then the Tkachuk brothers. It's just it's going to be an all-out.
Let's respect Eero Vaakanainen on Finland defense.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Let's talk about the Finnish team then, because their forward group is disgusting.
It's very good.
Yeah. It is so good.
They
their first
Barkov, Rantanen.
I'm looking at their top line is Barkov, Rantanen, Lekkonen. That's goals galore. I'm looking at their second line: Rupa Hintz, Sebastian Aho, Patrick Laine. You've got speed, you've got sniping, you've got playmaking. Like, what more can you want? These are all elite players.
I want good defense, and they don't have that.
Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Nico Mikkola.
Oh my gosh.
Nico Mikkola and Esa Lindell is their top pairing.
Wow,
dude, Olli Maatta made a national team.
Olli Maatta's a legend. He's a cancer survivor. That's my goat.
All right, and that's,
I know that's not why you're criticizing him, but I wanted to make you feel bad.
Yeah,
feel
I don't
bad.
Want that to be on the air, man.
Well, it's on the air now, so
oh, good.
Leave it in. We're going to leave that in. Anyway, Eero Vaakanainen was not going to be on this team, but is now as a result.
I just stood up to cancer.
The cameras aren't on, man.
I just stood up to cancer.
He stood up to me, too, because I'm bullying him. But Lydia, your guy Urho Vaakanainen makes this team. You talked about him stealing a goal from Will Cooley the other day. If Ristolainen and if Ristolainen and Miro Heiskanen don't go down, he's probably not there. Maybe he's the extra skater. You've seen him, and Sophia, you've seen him very closely in the ways that maybe Nick or I haven't. Does he read like a second pairing defenseman for the quality of this tournament?
I think no, but what you're going to get from Vaakanainen is a guy that's just going to compete on the defensive end, nonstop.
Yeah.
Whether he doesn't really bring much offense to a roster, but you're going to... I would feel comfortable, when he goes out there against top guys for the Rangers, I feel comfortable. He's not a bad player. This is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
But he's not someone that you have to, that you think is like a real step down in terms of what you're getting the product on defense, but he's not going to be able to like put pucks through some of the, like a Ristolainen or another player on defense like that.
Yeah, and replacement of Miro Heiskanen, it's definitely a major blow. But he knows what he has to do.
I think Heiskanen would have been the best defenseman on.
I think Heiskanen, and then arguably Ristolainen's number two. So those are like two massive losses. It kind of makes you understand, the riches that the U.S. and Canada and even Sweden on the blue line have at their disposal because Quinn Hughes goes down and no one's panicking. But I think Finland are really at a disadvantage on this blue line. They're not in goal and they're not at the forward core. I think if this is how teams are going to beat them is by putting pressure on this blue line, speed on this blue line, physicality in front of the net, open chances on the half wall. I think about this U.S. power play, and, if Tkachuk is wearing out the defenseman and Eichel is in the slot providing more size to, there's the lanes for Gensel and Matthews are just going to open up, and there's no way that they don't get chances. So
it's going to be the feed Matthews game.
Yeah,
on the power play.
And I think I'm glad to see that he's the captain because I want him to take responsibility and be the guy for this U.S. team. Crosby is in a crowded room in that Canadian locker room.
Someone
and he
said
still
last
said,
night, like, it's a room full of leaders. Yeah. So, yeah.
And
but I think they all designated Sid as the leader.
Yes, no, just like Canada's captain.
No, they asked Devo the day before, and they said, who's going to wear the C? And he goes, Sid. It has to be
Sid.
And
Mitch Marner said that 10-year-old him would think it's crazy that he scored the overtime winner off Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
They have a drop pass,
I mean, that's
Marner
just
sucked that game, though, until overtime.
Hey, but they don't ask how, they ask how many.
Yeah.
That's true. This is true. I'm looking at the Finnish goaltending now. Yeah. I think Jussi Saros is good enough to steal games for this team. He's done it in the NHL before in Nashville, and I absolutely believe that this Finland team you can't sleep on.
How many games is Kevin Lankinen playing?
Lankinen is probably not going to play, but if he did get in, I'm confident that he could do a job. He's having a phenomenal season, and honestly, he probably wouldn't be here if not for Thatcher Demko's injury, so hats off to Kevin Lankinen for making the best of a bad opportunity on a bad team, but he's been very good. They've gotten the goaltending in Vancouver, and for my money, this Finland team has goals in it. They absolutely do. I would not want to take a penalty against this team and have to deal with a power play unit that's got five forwards from what they practiced. Their top power play unit is Rupe Hintz, Mikko Rantanen, Sebastian Aho, Patrick Laine, and Sasha Barkov.
I mean, anytime you have Barkov on your team, you automatically have a first power play unit and a first PK unit that's worth their salt.
Absolutely. And that's Tara Vinen didn't even make the top power play unit. This is a gross team.
It's pretty good.
I think people are going to sleep on Finland, and at the international hockey rankings, I believe they're much higher rated in the U.S. If the IIHF top 10 rankings right now, Canada's 1, Finland's 2, Russia's 3, U.S. 4, and then down in 6th is Sweden, Germany's 5th. Some of that is impacted by the fact that NHL guys don't always play in those tournaments, but Finland's good. They belong where they're at. Obviously, this tournament feels a little bit incomplete without Russia there, but Finland being the fourth team, they absolutely, it wouldn't surprise me if they found a way to go to the final game, I guess if you want to call it a gold medal game. So that's a look into Finland. Let's talk about the losers from last night, and only narrowly was it the Swedish team who fell. I mean, this is another team that's really deep across the board, but especially on the blue line. I think they might have the best defense in this tournament.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
I don't disagree with that.
Look, when you got a third pairing of Gustav Forsling and Rasmus Dahlin, and Darlene was ragdolling guys out there.
Oh,
even
yeah.
McDavid.
Oh my gosh. Like
just, McDavid tried to make his presence known, and he was like, all right, little guy, and then just threw him down.
I think that's actually a good thing about the tournament, though. A lot of people thought that it was going to be like an all-star game and players weren't going to play
they're
full.
So
you
into it.
You put the country jersey on, and you're like they're throwing bodies out there.
Shea Theodore's
not coming. He's done for the tournament.
Yeah. And they sell week to week now, like,
I think it, like this tournament, like the players want to play this tournament. Yes. Okay, sorry.
I think they asked Victor Hedman about that in between periods. Jackie Redman was talking to him about like, hey, Canada's going to be rocking 5D for the rest of this game, perhaps the rest of this tournament. How does that make you feel? And Victor Hedman's like, all these guys are used to playing 25-30 minutes a game. Yeah. Like these are all like you're the top guys on a bunch of teams, with the exception of the blue liners for Finland. Across the board, these are all guys who have big responsibilities on their team. So the idea that like there's a group of leaders in that locker room rings true, not just for Canada.
For every team,
I look at the Sweden team, I'm like, they went with Victor Hedman as the captain, but I mean, Mika Zibanejad's a leader in the Rangers locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Jesper Bratt's a leader in the New Jersey locker room. Lucas Raymond's young, he's a leader. Victor Arvidsson's young, you've seen him up close, he's a leader, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. You'd be splitting hairs to try to divide these teams up by quality, really. I think the only ones that glaringly show as areas where they're behind is Canada in goal and Finland's defense. Mm-hmm. But obviously Canada have enough in front of their goaltenders to win games. I think it'd be really difficult to try to say who is the best team in this tournament without having seen every team already play a game.
Okay.
Canada.
So let's do it.
What?
Let's make predictions. Let's see how this thing's going to finish out. We have the benefit of already seeing one game. So right now, the table is Canada on top with 2 points, Sweden in second with one, and then the yet to play tied for third and fourth is the U.S. and Finland. But as we were speaking about before we got on the air, the point system is different. Something perhaps that they are workshopping for NHL adoption, as this is an NHL tournament. It is best on best. Three points for a regulation win, two for an overtime or shootout win, one for an overtime or shootout loss. We're familiar with that.
Yep.
And then none for a regulation loss.
Also, they have the 10-minute
overtime. And the 10-minute overtime.
McKinnon was not a fan
didn't like
that,
but McDavid said that he liked that. So.
Well, I think that these are things that they're testing to see if they want to adopt them in the NHL moving forward. So before we dive into the predictions, I think it's worth evaluating. Sophia, what are your thoughts on the 10-minute overtime and the 3-2-1 point structure?
I think that the 10-minute overtime is awesome. I think that it's so much better than the shootout. And I think, like McDavid said, he really likes that. He's been wanting that for years. So, and then the 3-2-1 points, I think that that's good too. Put it all in.
I'm 100% the same way. I think I don't remember who it was on the broadcast last night, but someone made a point like these teams are so good. There's a chance that we don't see it go past 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we don't see it go past like the shootouts becoming more and more rare. I hate the shootout. It's anti-hockey in my opinion. I would love to increase the overtime period to 10 minutes. And I also like the idea of doing 2 5-minute overtime periods. I think, you know, racing to get a goal in with the last 10 seconds. I mean, there's always breakaways and chances in overtime. So, you know, having that urgency, I think, incentivizes another goal. So, that's something else that, you know, that maybe they could add another element to it.
Yeah.
But I have long said that the 3-2-1 point structure that they do in the IIHF should be the standard in the NHL. I don't believe that a shootout win should be worth as much as a win in 60 minutes. That makes zero sense to me. I'm fine with an overtime and a shootout win being worth 2 points. I'd even be fine with an overtime win being worth 3 points and a regulation win being worth 3 points. I don't know where you'd make the dividing line. I'd be willing to workshop that, but I absolutely believe that it should be more valuable to win in regulation than it should after that.
Absolutely. Overtime is such a... I'm not going to call it a crapshoot because...
There are teams that are better at it than others.
Right,
but
you shouldn't be designing a team to be good in overtime. And I think that teams that can do a lot with space and speed, they have such a great advantage. The one problem, I think, if you go to a 10-minute overtime is you're probably going to see, as players get more tired, you're going to see penalties.
Hmm.
And penalties in overtime, it just feels like the game's over.
Yeah. Unless you're the Rangers.
That's the only thing that I can think of.
I do see that as an issue, but, you know, I also, obviously there's discussion about the tiredness leading to injury as well as penalties. And you know, these are professionals. I mean, the hockey players are arguably the most overworked of professional athletes. They're playing every other day, and every shift is a sprint.
Yep.
Right? So these guys are draining everything they have in them. This is something that is to be said about every sport, every contact sport especially. But there is not a single player out there who's 100%. So asking players to tax more on their bodies, like adding tournaments in the middle of the season, is always going to be met with some pushback. But I do think this would improve the game of hockey.
And last night would have ended in a shootout, and it was so much more exciting to see it keep going, and there was so much chances back and forth, so... Yeah,
and it's not like Sweden and their fans can come back and say, well, if that was 5 minutes, we deserve to get a chance in the shootout. Like, no, you got plenty of chances to win the game in overtime. Lydia, your thoughts?
I will say that first Sweden shift was kind of funny because they won the opening draw, and you just saw them like...
And I was like, as soon as Canada gets the puck, it's all going to be over.
That's the issue for some teams with the 10-minute overtime is they were literally playing survival. They were like, shoot, we're just going to cycle this puck because if we turn it over, then McDavid's is going the other way with the puck. But I agree. The 3-2-1 point system, I think it also incentivizes teams to try and win in regulation.
Absolutely.
Not that it obviously doesn't, you know, and regular, like, but I think, like, it's more for teams close in the standings, like, referencing that Rangers Blue Jackets game, like, that was Rangers needed to win that in regulation to not give the Blue Jackets a point. But in general, like, I think you were getting at this point, James, like, how often, you know, last minute of a game do you just see, like, a team, like, a road team standing behind the net, with the defenseman, you know, just stick handling the puck, seeing if anyone's going to pressure because they just want to get that one point. I think, you know, that 3-2-1 system, it changes that. And I think there's like someone's done the math. You can look at it and actually won't change this playoff picture like,
not
that
drastically.
Much.
Yeah. Not
but
really.
I just think it's the thought behind it that right. changes and the mentality that changes. And I think that's why the 3-2-1 is a good system. As for 10 minutes, I think 5-5 with a break, I think that is the most feasible option just because you still want to see like that high quality. But I think the good thing about the 10 minutes is it could make a coach need to, you know, go deeper into the lineup. So maybe you'll see some, like, I don't know, like a three.
Maybe you'll see Will Cooley in overtime.
He's played in overtime before, so let's pipe
Sam
down.
Carrick overtime
Matt
winner.
But I just think, like, it would be fun to see, like, third-line role players moments. Versus third-line role players. And that could be more electric than, like, top-line guys, just, like, a gritty overtime win.
I mean, we've seen it more and more lately as coaches, and across all sports, have gotten more riskier with the, you know, the introduction of advanced statistics, but pulling a goalie in overtime, to, you know, for the advantage of not giving away for running the risk of losing the loser point. I think you'd see in like regulation late in the season, like games tied 2-2, you got 2 minutes left, 3 points feels a lot better than two for your standings. Yeah. Pull the goalie.
Yeah.
I'd love to add a little bit more intrigue to it. To every moment of the season. It feels like it would make regular season games feel more important.
There's no way it hurts the game.
No, I don't see how it could. I really don't.
The only thing it helps with just dude, losing in the shootout sucks.
That's the worst way to
losing
lose.
In
like
the shootout is my least favorite thing.
I don't so much like winning in the shootout.
No, it doesn't feel.
It's like relief. Yeah. No, it's relief rather than being like, we won the game.
Like if you score an OT winner, you're like that guy did that. Mm-hmm. If you win in the shootout, you're like, I mean, he deked the goalie out of his pads.
It's
but like
take the point.
But like it's.
But a loss in the shootout is enraging.
I have bothered people with this take on this show before, but I would rather see games end in a tie than go to a shootout.
I 100% agree.
I mean, we do
that's
come
un-American.
From, we do come from yeah, the really, soccer background, though. Yeah. Later, so I think it sounds a little bit foreign to a lot of people. I remember Sam Bohr absolutely rinsed me for saying that once. So I think that's a good place to ease into the predictions of it all now. As it stands, Canada's in first, Sweden's in second, and we have yet to see the U.S. or Finland out there. Nick, let's start with you. I know you love your predictions and you love to get specific with them. So let's hear what you've got for this tournament.
I do love to get
How is it ending and who is winning the final game?
It's going to be USA Canada in the final. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. USA is going to win 4-2 in the final. Poppy's going to have 2 goals. Jack Eichel's going to have a goal. Dude, this second line of USA is going to score so many goals this
I hope so, man.
This time. And Brock Nelson's going to have a goal as well that game.
In the final?
Shut up.
Yeah. Deflection
the
or something?
The world seniors, Brock Nelson. He's leading the charge.
Did you see the picture of Brock Nelson like edited to look like,
yeah,
it was, like
I did.
50s hockey photo?
I did. And y'all are making fun of him.
I'm not.
But y'all
not
all
fun.
Want him on your team right now. So I don't know what you're
that's
talking
not me
about.
Making fun. That's me paying respects, man.
Yeah.
Paying respects to the history of hockey.
I would never make fun of the Islanders.
with that, Lydia, let's see your predictions.
All right. So I think out of the group stage or after the round robin is done, I think USA is going to lead in points. But I think it's going to be USA-Canada. And I think Canada's going to win.
Traitor.
Okay. The weird part about this tournament is, like, internationally, just because of, like, the hockey's so big in Canada, so that was, like, more influenced on me versus, like, soccer's bigger in the U.S. So, like, the half and half kind of, I have different teams internationally in that regard, but it's weird to, like, root against, like, Trocheck, to root against Zibanejad, to root against Kreider, because I grew up on the World Juniors. I grew up on the World Juniors. I grew up, you know, watching Crosby score that winner in Sochi, and that was just kind of, you know, what was, like, ingrained in me from when I was young.
Sorry, where are you from?
What?
Where are you from?
Well, actually, dual citizen, so.
But
I am
where are you from?
Massachusetts, and I'm a Rangers fan, so let's not even. That doesn't,
all over the place.
Yeah.
Here.
Canada's going to win. They're going to beat the U.S., and it's going to be an overtime. It's going to be I'm going to take a Sidney Crosby golden goal just because I can.
Yeah, that's
it's hard to resist. All right, Sophia.
I also think that it's going to be U.S. and Canada in the final, even though I would love it if Sweden or Finland snuck in there.
Sweden would be cool.
I love drama. I love all of that. And that's why I hope and pray that it will go to overtime in the final. I think that Matthew Tkachuk and Austin Matthews are going to pave the way, and Hellebuyck, hopefully.
Yup.
And U.S. will win it, even though last week I said that Canada would win it. So I'm kind of flip-flop. But that's my prediction right now.
Look, I hope the U.S. Goes the distance here. I think it would do wonders for the sport in this country as well, because, you know, we've been starving for this type of tournament since 2016 World Cup of Hockey, and in many ways that was not a success. Not only because the U.S. were really bad at that, but it was just not that great of a tournament to watch when the final is Canada and then Team Europe made of guys from 9 different countries. Yeah. It's like not so exciting. I do think the U.S. wins tonight against Finland. And I do think they might even sneak out a win against Canada at the Bell Center on February the 15th. But I do not think that they would beat the Canada in a gold medal game in the final. I just think that the experience and quality, guys like Crosby, you take a penalty and you have to deal with McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby, you know, running down your throat. Like, I don't think that you come back from that.
Okay.
I don't care who your goalie is. The quality on the ice for Canada is too good. I do think that'll be the final. I do think the U.S. will finish in first in the round robin, but I think Canada will win it in the final, and I do think Sidney Crosby will be the difference maker. I'm not necessarily saying a golden goal in overtime, but I do think that, I mean, he just knows how to win at this level. Yeah. He knows how to win internationally. When he puts on the Canada jersey, beware, because they are that good.
Yeah.
And with that, that is our Four Nations preview of this interesting mid-season tournament that hopefully becomes a blueprint for the future. I hope that more NHL players go back to the Winter Olympics next year, and I hope that the 2028 World Cup of Hockey is a spectacle. So, for Nick Palmer, for Sophia Smith, and our producer, not behind the glass today, between the pipes, Lydia Perner, I've been James Burley. This has been 5-on-3. Enjoy the Four Nations, everybody. We'll see you guys next time. 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports.